Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, August 21st, 2011.
You can be opening your Bibles this morning, if you would, to 2 Timothy 2:15. We're going to consider a theme that will cause us to understand just how worth it will be when we see Christ. That is true for all of His children. But for those who are willing to surrender their life wholly and fully to Him now, as we wait for the coming of the Lord, God has given us a promise of something even greater than we can possibly imagine. But because He has stated it in His Word, it is true. And we can rejoice in this part of His grace as well, not only the grace that saves us as we are, without merit, but that also promises to reward us for a service of love and obedience and faithfulness that we can only live as children of God by His grace that enables us just to render that type of service. So that's the subject this morning. We're going to consider the doctrine of rewards. When we get to the verses that specifically use the word that's translated rewards, we need to understand just how strong the word is. In the Greek, the word that often is translated rewards in the New Testament is a word that means payment for services rendered. It means award for performance or compensation for sacrifice. Now, that's what the word means, and there's no, the Apostle Paul, as we will read, and others, the New Testament writers, they used this word in the Greek. They knew what it meant, and yet they, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talked about rewards. Now, we understand clearly in our other doctrinal lessons that we've had on Sunday morning, we know that the teaching of Scripture is clear. Salvation, eternal life, the forgiveness of the guilt of our sins is never referred to in the Bible as a reward, but always as a gift of God's grace. You didn't earn it. You can't keep it. God did the work by sending His Son on the cross, and when Jesus said, "It is finished," He was referring to the work of redemption. It is done once and for all. Once you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are born again and you cannot be unborn. You are eternally a child of God. And that is all by grace, not by reward. Every believer is eternally complete, as Paul wrote the Colossians, and he said that in Jesus Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you, believers in Christ, are complete in Him. You lack nothing to be accepted by God for eternity when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's all by His grace. Now, because the Bible is so clear on that, and this is why you see so much confusion in Christendom today. There are those that think that, okay, you can get saved, but if you mess up and if you're not faithful, then you lose your salvation. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach it at all. Then there are those that say, well, if you're going to be saved by grace, then that means that it doesn't matter how you live your life today as a Christian. The Bible doesn't teach that either. And the reason there's so much confusion is because they don't understand the doctrine of eternal security that goes hand in hand with the doctrine of rewards. The Bible is clear on these teachings, but you have to have the balanced approach. And because the Bible is clear that salvation is a gift, many believe that the very thought of rewards, awarding performance. About a month ago, I had someone tell me that I was preaching legality because I preach the practical side of the saving grace of God that saves you as you are but transforms you. They said, "You're legal. We can't handle that." And it says, we always heard it done, 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 and you preach do, do, do. No, I preach because it's done, we can do. Because Jesus did the work on the cross, I am now able to do what I couldn't do before. I can do the will of God. Only Christians can be pleasing to God. And now that I have that ability by His grace, because I love the one who first loved me, I want to lay down my life for Him as a living sacrifice. And the Bible says that when we come to that place and we're willing to do that, God in His grace says, I'll reward you for that. Because it is a work that's being performed, and I'll compensate you for that. There is suffering, there is sacrifice, but God says, I will compensate you. First of all, I'll give you the strength and the wisdom and the ability to make the sacrifice and to walk in the wise ways of God, and then I'll reward you for it. You remember when Mary told the angel, how can I have a baby? I've never known a man. And the angel said, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that does the work. What did she say? At that point, she was going to receive the privilege that every Jewish woman to that point wanted. They wanted to bear the Messiah. It was given to Mary. And what did Mary say? So be it done unto me according to your word. King David, when David wanted to build God a house, a temple, and God says, no, David, I'm going to build you one. What did David say? He knew he didn't deserve it, but he said, so be it done unto me. When God tells me in His word that He will reward a service of love and sacrifice, I know I don't deserve it. I know I can't do it apart from His enabling. But when He says He's going to reward those who are willing to live by faith, I'm going to say, amen, so be it done unto me. Because works are clearly not a part of the redemptive work of God, some think it has no part in the believer's life at all. Let's don't talk about works. But to do that is to deny the very gospel of grace that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. I had you go to Timothy first. Let's back up and go to Ephesians, to this familiar passage that we rightfully stand on for eternal security. To know that salvation is by faith and faith alone. But in this exact same passage of grace, notice that it gives us the proper understanding of where works fit in the life of the believer. Ephesians 2 and verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Well, I'll just stop there. Well, too many Christians do. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for what purpose? For good works, not by them, but for them, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Many believe that because we are all deserving of hell and we're only saved by grace, that every Christian is going to have the same inheritance and the same place in heaven, because that's just how God does things. We're all saved by grace. We were all sinners. We were all saved by grace. So it's not right to think that God is going to reward, give different degrees of glory and different degrees of inheritance to different ones of His children. Well, that may sound logical, but it's not the teaching of Scripture. God says He acknowledges differences among His children right now in this life. He chastises some. He praises some. He calls some carnal. He calls some spiritual, some babe, some fool. Those are differences that He already acknowledges among His children. And He teaches in His word that those differences that are seen in this life right now will also have consequences in eternity. Now always keep the context. Those that are genuinely born again by faith in Jesus Christ, they are eternally a child of God. They have what I like to refer to as a basic inheritance. Every child of God has an inheritance. But God says there's more than just the basic. There's more for those who are willing to live a life that honors Him. We are saved not by works, but for works. We are the body of Christ. We had that in one of our lessons not too long ago. What's the body for? To do the will of the head. We are here in this life to do the will of God. And when Christians don't do the will of God, when they live a life of selfishness, doing what they want instead of what God says, this is in your best interest and it will bring me the greatest glory. When we don't do that, we are going to have consequences in this life and in eternity. Every child of God has been given the same privilege and the same provision to succeed in the will of God. There's not one of us here this morning that cannot be found pleasing to God. And this is where so many Christians, they like to make excuses. Well, Brother Doug, and I've heard this several times, and you've heard me say it, but people tell me, Brother Doug, you were raised in church, and you've even said, your brother said you were preaching since you were 5 years old. And so it's easy for you to do this or to do that. They don't understand I have the same flesh that they have. And the only way that I have victory is the same way you have victory, and that's for us to yield to the grace of God that will empower us, that will transform us, and that will change us. But I have no excuse not to, and you don't either. Because it's God who does the work. What your part is, what my part is to yield. And that's so tough, because we want to do what we want to do. But for those that are willing to yield, he says there are some rewards that he has reserved. Our motivation is not that of pride. Well, I want to do better than you. Often genuine faith, those who have genuine faith, they're accused of that. Oh, you think you're so much better. You think you're such a goody two-shoes. Sometimes genuine faith is misunderstood. But our motivation is not pride. And it's not competition. I'm going to try to beat you out. You know, the only work that is going to be rewarded in eternity is the work that's done out of the motivation of love for Jesus Christ. Because he loved me. That's why he went to the cross. Who was Jesus trying to impress by dying for my sins? He wasn't trying to impress anybody. He loved me. He loved you. And he died for me. If I truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what it boils down to. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you will want to bring him the greatest glory. And you know how you do that? You render a service of love and obedience, sacrifice. And then his grace says, and I'll reward you on top of it. That's the grace of God. Let's read 2 Timothy 2:15. If you don't understand these fundamental, essential Christian doctrines, you're going to be confused. You're going to fall into the error, one extreme or the other. You're going to fall into legality, or you're going to fall into license. Well, we're saved by grace. We do what we want. No, we have to keep ourselves saved by doing things. No, both of those are wrong. Both of those are error and don't lead to God's blessing. But an understanding of our security in Jesus Christ will lead you to a life of service that will be rewarded in eternity. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent. The word in the Greek, it means to put forth prompt, earnest effort. If you just wake up every morning and go off about your business and think you're going to live a life that pleases God, on the authority of the Word of God, you're a fool. You're going to follow the lust of your own flesh. If you're going to serve the Lord in a way that pleases Him, you must be diligent. It takes effort. He will be your effort. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. The Holy Spirit will be your energy, but you have to allow that energy to be exercised. Put forth prompt and earnest effort to present yourself approved to God. Now, he's writing to Christians, right? to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you realize that some of God's people are not going to be approved? I'm going to let you think about that a minute. Oh, Brother Doug, there you go with that legality stuff. It's what Paul wrote under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? The word that's translated approve here, the Greeks used it when they were testing metals. One of the ways that they used it is after they had forged a sword or a tool of some kind, and they wanted to make sure that it was sound and didn't have flaws in it, they would test it, and if it was sound, and if it was something that could be used, and then approved to be sold or used, it was approved. This word was used. Some of God's people aren't going to be approved. Others will be. Paul says that if you will be diligent, you will be approved. But let's jump over to 1 Corinthians 9:27, where Paul uses the same word that's translated in Timothy as approved. Here the English translates it different, but it's the same word, only with a negative in front of it. And so Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I discipline my body. There's that diligence again. There's that putting forth effort. I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection. Why? Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now remember, it's the exact same word in the Greek, just with the negative form of it. Not approved. Cast away. The apostle of this church age, the one who clearly had the revelation that we are saved once and for all by the grace of God, he talks about being disqualified. The question, of course, the big question is, approved or disapproved for what? We know he's not talking about salvation. And if you don't understand that yet, you're not going to understand anything about what it means to be a Christian, how to live a Christian life. You have to understand your security. But based on that solid foundation, now you need to understand what your life is all about. There's a difference between when we read in Ephesians 1, we are accepted by God in the beloved. So every child of God is eternally accepted in the presence of God. But not every Christian is acceptable. There's a difference. Let me give you an example so you can begin to understand the concept. Let's say that one of these young families, we'll say one of the young male children, because they tend to have that tendency. Let's say Sunday morning, their mother gets them all spruced up for Sunday school, and they're looking good. Well, mom goes to finish getting ready herself, and in the meanwhile, that little boy goes outside and starts playing in the mud. Now, when it comes time for that mama to call for that child to come into the house to get ready to go for Sunday school, will that son be accepted as a son in the house? Oh, yeah, he's accepted. He may wish he weren't. But he'll be accepted into the house. But do you think he's going to be acceptable to go to Sunday school? He won't. He will be disciplined. He will be washed up and made ready to go. And then off they go. There's a difference between being accepted and acceptable. Every Christian is accepted by God in the beloved forever. But the way that some of God's people live is simply unacceptable to God. And we need to understand that. Again, what's my motivation? Because I love my Father. Because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be acceptable in their presence. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. After we have been accepted by God through faith in Jesus Christ, a gift, now we have the privilege to daily be acceptable in His presence. And He promises to reward such a surrendered life of faith. 1 Corinthians 3:5-15. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, You see, Paul believed in doing, didn't he? He says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. God's the one who gets the glory for the work. Even though we may be the instruments, it's a privilege for us. God's going to do his work. We simply have the privilege to be a part of what he's doing, identify with him, and share in his glory. I don't understand all that. But like David and like Mary, so be it done unto me, according to your word. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Sounds to me like there's some differences between believers here. Each will have their own reward in proportion to their own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, we are God's field, we are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now, some commentators like to limit this only to teachers and what they teach. That certainly is what's being said here. But stop and think about this. If it matters to God what teachers teach, don't you think it matters to every believer what we believe and receive and support? What we build our life on? So this applies to ministers and non-ministers alike. What are you using to build your life? It needs to be the sound doctrine of the revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul. According to the grace of God which was given to me, Paul says, as a wise master builder. He's laid the foundation, another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, different kinds of building material, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. That's our word in the Greek, payment, compensation, award. If anyone's work endures, he'll receive reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. Do you see the balance of the teaching of Scripture? Christians that will be disqualified are not being disqualified for eternity or for heaven or for that basic inheritance of every child of God. That's not what they're being cast away from. It's this reward that is on top of that inheritance of a child of God. Some are going to suffer shame. I don't know how long that shame, I don't know how it will be expressed. But saints, when I see Jesus Christ, I want to be able to glorify him with every ounce of my being. And I don't want there to be one thing in my life that brings him shame or disapproval of my Lord. Is that what motivates what you do every day? How you think, how you treat others? God will reward faithful, loving service that's built on his word. There are different degrees of reward, and in our future lessons, we're going to look at what the Bible tells us are specific rewards. So we'll look at some of the specific things. Right now, we just want to understand the concept, the biblical teaching, that God rewards some, and some will suffer loss. Some will be approved, some will be disapproved. Which one do you want to fall under? Different degrees of reward, because there are different degrees of faithfulness. You stop and think about that. There are degrees of faithfulness because faithfulness is directly related to its root word, faith. You will not be faithful without faith. It's impossible to be faithful and not have faith. It's impossible to be faithful when you do not believe the Word of God and apply it to your life. And so, if we're going to get to faithfulness, we have to come back to faith and ask ourselves the question that hopefully we know the answer to. Where does faith come from? Paul told the Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These so-called faith preachers and prosperity message preachers that bring such reproach to the gospel, you know why they bring so much reproach? Because they think faith is whatever they imagine to be what they want. And then they tell God, and God's got to do it. It's foolishness. It's destructiveness. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You can't have faith for anything God hadn't promised. And some of the things they tell you God promised, they're lying. God didn't promise. But when God says something in His Word, you can trust Him. And when you believe the Word of God, you will be faithful to Him. When we hear and receive the Word of God, it will bring a harvest of faith and faithfulness. In Matthew 13, if you're just writing references, Matthew 13, 23, Jesus talked about the harvest of the seed of the Word of God. In some, it brings forth 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So you see, God sees there's difference. There are degrees of faith. There's degrees of faithfulness. He talks about great faith. He talks about the faith the size of the seed, the mustard seed. And so there are many degrees of faithfulness because there's many degrees of faith. You want to rightly divide the word of truth so you can be faithful. Some are scarcely saved, as we read in Corinthians. Saved, but scarcely. And then there are those, like Peter writes it, that have an abundant entrance into the kingdom of God. Let me ask you something. There are those that have written songs, some pretty corny songs. I'll be satisfied with just a shack by the river in heaven. That sounds very humble and it sounds very spiritual, but it's foolishness. God wants for me to sit in the throne with Jesus Christ. God wants me to obtain to His best. You know why? Because that will bring Him the greatest glory. I want God's best in this life and I want God's best in eternity. I'm not looking, I'm not settling for God's second best. And I realize that that would be blasphemy if God Himself hadn't said that's what He wants for me. And because I love my Father, I want to sit with Christ in His throne as a joint equal heir. Not just an heir, but a joint equal heir. We'll look at that in our next lesson. That abundant entrance is what I'm looking for because I love Jesus Christ. When will these rewards be presented? Let's go to 1 John 3. Well, let's see. Let's don't go there. Let's go to Revelation 14. There are some, and I have been rebuked by older ministers, when I talk about the judgment seat of Christ. Some of you know the Greek there, the Bema seat. When I talk about that being a future event, some people don't like that. And I have been strongly rebuked by older ministers saying, no, Jesus is judging His people now. There'll be no judgment in heaven. Well, again, they need the balanced understanding. It is true. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's absolutely true. There will be no condemnation for a child of God ever, because that wrath fell on Jesus Christ. But for you to equate judgment of your works as condemnation, you're not understanding the scriptural terms. Jesus Christ is going to judge our works, whether they are approved or disapproved. But that's not condemnation. The question there is not salvation, it is rewards. It is true that Jesus right now is in the midst of the church judging the church. That is true. We see that in the book of Revelation. There are benefits right now. There are rewards for a life of faithfulness. Answered prayer. That's one I was going to look up in John. Answered prayer is promised for those who live a life of faith. It's not for the carnal Christian. But But the promise of answered prayer, that's a reward for faithfulness. There are also consequences in this life when you choose to live a life of sin. The way of the transgressor is hard. So yeah, there are rewards and consequences right now. But saints, that's not what we're talking about. In Revelation 14 and 13, it says this. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write. This is Revelation 14, verse 13. Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Now by that, the inference is their rewards for those works will follow them. In Revelation 22 and 12, I'll read this to you. Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. That's a future date, isn't it? That is at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. His reward is with him. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, very quickly, just jot these down and look them up and make sure I'm not making this stuff up. But 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. I can't give an account for everything I've done in this body till I'm done with this body. The rewards are going to be given in the future. They start now. There are benefits now for living a life of faith. But the best is truly yet to come. To make this present life the time of the judgment seat of Christ, which some do, is to miss the whole character of the context of these verses that preceded Paul's declaration that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In that chapter, he's speaking of eternity. He's speaking of what awaits us. He talks about being absent from the body and present with the Lord. It's at that time we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans chapter 14. Let's turn to the 14th chapter of Romans. A couple more passages here before we close this morning. Does it matter? Are there consequences for how the Christian lives their life? We know we're saved by grace. We know that we are eternally a child of God. Our home is heaven. But does it matter how we live from day to day? The essential doctrines of the gospel of Jesus Christ say it matters greatly. Romans 14:10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Jump down to verse 12. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. We shall, a future date, give an account. Just think about that for a moment. We sang that song, When We See Christ. Some, when they see Christ for that first moment, will be ashamed. We have the privilege in this life right now, we have the privilege to judge our flesh. We have the privilege to experience the shame now and cry out to God to forgive us for bringing him reproach. We can do that today. And if we will do that, we will not face that thing at the judgment seat of Christ. Another wonderful benefit of the grace of God. We've all failed, haven't we? You say, Brother Doug, how can anybody stand before him approved on that day? By yielding to his grace. Right now, by stopping making excuses for ourselves and say, God, transform me from glory to glory to the same image of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 18. This is what the Apostle Paul exhorts us. Colossians 2:18. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. That false doctrine that points you away from the things that please God, that truly reveal His will to us. Don't let anyone cheat you. The word means beguile, to defraud you of a prize, to disqualify you. Not for salvation, not for eternal life, but for reward. We have an enemy that wants to cheat us, rob us. And when we allow anything or anyone to distract us from walking in those ordained works that are revealed to us in the Word of God, when our motives, our words, or our actions contradict the revelation of the instruction of God's Word for our life, do you realize you're letting people, you're letting the enemy, you're letting Satan rob you and cheat you of something God says, I will give you my highest glory if you will simply yield you to my grace. Many of God's people are going to be deceived. In closing, Revelation 3:11. God wants us to understand these doctrines. It's not just a dogma. It's not just articles of faith that we can say, okay, this is what our church believes. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christendom is being diluted today, and before long, Jesus Christ is going to be asked to leave completely this realm called the visible church. Oh, Jesus, we're going to keep your thoughts of loving each other, but we really don't care for your sovereignty. We don't want to hear what you have to say, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus, thanks, but no thanks. But saints, these doctrines of the gospel of Jesus Christ is what it means to be a disciple of Christ. We need to understand eternal security. We need to understand rewards, because it's what God has revealed to us for our good and His glory. And in Revelation 3:11, he says, Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. We're going to look at those crowns in our next lesson. Are you being deceived? Are you being distracted? Or is it your desire in life? God, I want to do your will. Family, church, career, work. I want everything to fall under this one main theme. I want to win Christ. I want to press toward the goal. We'll look at these lessons further. But is that your desire? Let's have a song in closing.